Hello and welcome to the Hockey Hurts podcast for February 19th of 2024. I'm Ryan Wilson, Penguins writer for HockeyBuzz.com.
I'm Cameron Walsh for HockeyHurts.com.
And we are recording live from Pittsburgh in the Doubletree Hotel. 5 minute walk from the PPG Paints Arena. And me and Cameron, both together, attended Jaromir Jagr's retirement ceremony, and we are going to discuss the weekend, mostly, and maybe discuss the team a little bit.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah.
It's been a remarkable, remarkable day, yes? It's been so good. Everything that either of us wanted out of this day, it's been just from the time we both arrived here to everything at the arena, post arena, and now recording early February 19th. Jaromir Jagr Day, Jaromir Jagr Week, whatever. He's come home. It's been awesome. Things kicked off for me yesterday when on Twitter they're talking about he's practicing with the team, like on the ice. I didn't know that was going to be a thing, and my whole morning shut down. I literally was glued to my Penguins Twitter feed, updates, the nostalgia, the emotions of having him in Penguins gear, on the ice, with Crosby, Malkin, Letang. It was perfect.
It's what it should have been.
And he looked pretty fucking good, too.
For me, it was odd because I flew out from Melbourne at 12:30, well, lunchtime, on the 17th. I landed in LA at 8 a.m. 17th of February. So I'm sitting in LAX waiting to catch my transit flight from LA to Phoenix to then go Phoenix to Pittsburgh. And then you see the training stuff on Twitter and you sort of get there and you get the buzz and the whole, you know, this thing is real and what the hell is he doing on the ice? And that's when it sort of all kicked off. All I wanted to make sure was that myself and my luggage got to Pittsburgh all in one piece and we're all good. So landing in Pittsburgh at 11 o'clock on the 17th, I was like, right, this thing's on, like Donkey Kong. It's been surreal to be able to watch a player that you grew up idolizing with Lemieux and to actually get to see him back on the ice in warm-ups, something I never thought happen.
Warm-ups for the game.
Yeah. Like, to actually see him on the ice in that uniform was like, yeah, cool. I mean, I've skipped over the whole ceremony part there, and we'll get back to that. But, yes, to actually have that occur and see that happen was like, it's crazy for me.
It was emotional.
Like, I cried. I legitimately had tears down my eyes in the ceremony. Like, I wasn't bawling my eyes out, but like I definitely had tears in my eyes. It was nuts.
That hit as hard as anything that could hit for following this team right now, because I mean, the team's the team right now. But seeing him in the black and gold on the ice, it's been 23 years?
We'll run with that as a number.
Since he's done it, and you know, he's still actually playing hockey in Europe. And no shortage of fans clamoring for him on the power play this evening.
For us, by the way. Like, it's being discussed. Don't you worry about that.
So, of course, all of the negativity from some, not all, of his Flyers choice and, like, being booed and I think people know where I've stood on that for a long time. I fucking hated the people that, not hated the people themselves, but I fucking hated the booing. It just, the Penguins weren't going to give him the same real offer that the Flyers did. Jágr likes his money. Like, that wasn't, I was disappointed, but like, I'm not going to
They hardballed the wrong guy. You don't hardball, like, you've just, you pay. You pay what you should, and you go, yeah, you're going to get your time. And that's, it's not.
Like, you're going to lowball him, and you're the organization why he had to be traded because you couldn't pay him in the first place? Yeah, like,
there's some cognitive dissonance there that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just, it's, yeah.
So.
Tonight was really
tonight good. Set the world straight, or the, it set everything the way it needed to be. The love that was in the arena was amazing. And, you know, we talked about night that we will always remember.
Oh, I'll get to cherish this until I die. Like, that's, it's just to have been there for it live and to get to see a whole bunch of those players that were sitting there in those chairs as well, though. Like, let's, like, I know this is about Jágr, but for me, all I've got to see of those people is old videos. Old recordings of what they did on the ice.
The Penguins legends.
Correct. That's right. So to get to see all of them there, you know, from the brilliance of everyone to the lower level guys that were there because they were a big part of Jágr becoming Jágr, it was like, it's great. This will never happen again for me. Like, even if I come back for a Fleury and a Malkin and a Crosby retirement, I've got to watch all those guys. I was being fortunate enough that the world evolved enough that I could see them and watch them be who they are. I couldn't do that with a lot of those guys. So it was brilliant to see that there. I mean, it's one of the things that I think I've only just realised now is that's great. Like, it's not just enjoying him, but it's all those people from the 91, 92 and those others that were later on as well. I mean, it sucked that, like, Strackel was going to but didn't get there, but Rob Lang was there.
Robert Lang's...
You know what I mean? Like,
Robert Lang, who tied the game in Game 7 in 0-1 against the Sabres late to open the door for the Kasparaitis goal. That Robert Lang?
Oh, yeah. Kasper goal?
Yeah. That.
Yeah. So, yes, as you can tell, we're probably going to wax a little lyrical about what happened tonight and those kinds of things. But yeah, it was worth flying all the way over for it.
It was worth the 4-hour drive for me as well.
Was it trying to one up you?
No.
I just...
you know what else though? You spoke about the people in the chairs. Jágr's such a big deal, the Los Angeles Kings players were all on the bench too. That's not normal for these celebrations, to where the road team is taking in the celebration. All players from both teams. Well, the ceremony was way earlier. They weren't in equipment, but they were in their warm-up gear.
Undergarments, really. Yeah. Yeah.
But they were all on the bench, because that's how important he is. He's the second all-time in points, yes?
I think so.
Yeah. And probably could have...
If he'd kept... Yeah.
Well, he could have caught Gretzky's goal record if he didn't do the KHL. The 2,800 points, maybe not. Wayne's still got those. Yeah.
One thing I noted while the warm-ups were going on, while he was warming up with the Penguins, was he'd do a couple of laps... Take a couple of shots, then he'd get there to the halfway line, and a different LA King would come over. It would be all of them. Every single one came over and said something.
He's a rock star. There's just no.
Because I've never seen one of these things before, you don't know what happens for the other team, like the other side. Like,
yeah, they're in their locker room usually.
Yeah, and when he was out there skating around with them, it was, you could see the respect. And I was so high up, you couldn't tell, you know, whether there was awe in their eyes or anything like that. But you could just tell there was respect, because everybody at some point came over and said something. So there were 22 on the roster, active roster, right?
Something-ish.
Yeah, everyone. So backup goalie all the way up to Anze Kopitar.
20.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 20. All, you can tell we've had a couple of drinks. I can't even
12 forward, 62 goalies.
I can't even get the basics right tonight. But you look at the everyone, every single one, all went over there at some point and said something to them. Shook hands with a couple of guys, whatever, but it was just, you just go, it's a wide reach this man has. And you'll all end up watching the thing. In the building, he just resonated. It was, you could feel it. Everyone was sitting on all of his jokes and...
He's a funny guy.
He really, really is.
Oh, man.
He is, he's a funny guy, but he knows who he is and he plays to it.
The video packages were unreal.
Yeah.
They were really good. I don't know if that was on the broadcast. I imagine...
You'll be able to find it on YouTube. Like, you want to watch the thing, and then if you feel like the video packages weren't there, you'll find them on YouTube. You need to watch.
They had to have been, because Staggy was doing the...
Oh, in between, out near.
So they, yeah, it had to have been.
And he did it.
That bang-up job.
Absolutely. Like, that's... He ran that ridiculously well.
Man, what a night. Loved every bit of that ceremony.
So where did it go wrong?
The ceremony?
No, we got to the ceremony. We've done all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done with the ceremony.
Hang on, no, I know you're not done with the ceremony, but to be honest, everything the night from us waiting in line to get in to that point, it was magical. Absolutely magical.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah.
And just the crowd, of course, like the kind of night it was, and everybody's just in a great mood, and it was just a lot of fun. And the ceremony, like the humor part of Jagr when he referenced his girlfriend, and he's like, she's too young to remember any of this, but I tell her about it.
The confidence you have to admit that is just, I mean,
that one slayed me. Yeah. I was laughing in the stands. I'm like, oh my god, this is so Jagr.
I think
I guess he threw an F-bomb on the broadcast too, which we were not privy to.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's what Rossi said.
Oh, I missed that. It was interesting how, for me, like how emotional Craig Patrick was.
Oh, absolutely.
He was holding tears back quite a lot. That.
Craig Patrick's just a legendary builder of this team.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, look at some of the trades and acquisitions. Mm. And yeah, the Jagr thing kind of fell in his lap a little bit. Because
actually, I've got to put my hand up on this. How the hell did a team that was almost at the Stanley Cup level end up with the number 5 pick in the draft?
They tanked. The wheels fell off that prior year. They just went on a, I believe, losing streak, and they weren't that close to a cup, though, at the same time.
So this is me showing where I entered.
I mean, I was 9, so forgive me for
sure. Yeah, but you get what I'm, like, this shows you my entry point, right, in regards to when I got on, and yeah, bandwagon all the way at the start.
Like, you had coffee, I'm a little foggy with when Joe Mullen came in.
Right?
Brasso was there for a bit, yeah.
I mean, we could hockey reference this. I understand that. But we're in the middle of this particular
conversation. I'm not moving the laptop because it might wiggle the cord and we might end up with a Vegas situation.
We might Vegas it. Let's not do that.
So we're not doing that.
It shows you the entry point. It's like when I sit there and I look at it, you go, you've got the number 5 draft pick in 1990. You win the cup in 91. Like, that doesn't... Like, you think about the way it's done these days, unless you've gone and made a monster trade and somebody's completely fucked it up.
I don't think free agency was, like, bonkos then. I don't know if it started when it did.
Yeah.
You didn't have... That was the beginning of the wall being broken down. Soviet...
yeah, you're right. Jesus Christ, I tell you what, at 9, I'm 11. Like, you kind of forget about the the size.
Those Eastern Europeans weren't coming over.
No, that's absolutely...
I mean, famously, Jagr told the first four teams he's not coming over. Idolized Lemieux because he watched Canada beat Russia as in Czechoslovakia. And, you know, that was like Jagr's love at first sight thing. And he's like, oh, I can play with Mario and just fucking tell the other teams whatever. Yeah, that's how you roll as a professional sports franchise. People might say it's dirty pool. Yeah, and I would say, fuck it. Because guess what? There are no repercussions for it.
Not there.
And
no.
He's a legend. He's a Penguins legend first.
Yeah.
With Mario.
It was hilarious. I hadn't thought contextually at all about where else he had played until I was in the lift coming down this morning to see you in the lobby. And a kid in a Philadelphia Flyers Jagr jersey popped into the lift.
What a piece of shit, right?
And I went, oh shit, that's right. And then all of a sudden I got there and went, fuck, so where else did he play? It's like, oh, that's right. Bang, 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 bang. And I think for those people that complain about the fact that he, quote unquote, only played in Pittsburgh for 11 seasons, my reaction to the fact that that was the only time...
That's a long time.
It is. But if you think about other players that have their jerseys retired...
It's not that long.
No, but they also haven't played on after that many times.
Well, I can tell you, Western New York, the Sabres, Hasek and LaFontaine did not play...
Oh, you're right!
...fucking 11 years.
Jeez, talk about stomp on my little theory straight away. Gee, I tell you what, doing this live, face-to-face is not...
I'm not even sure Rick Martin and Rene Robert played longer with the Sabres as Jagr did the Penguins.
Because he played away from the...
It's just that Jagr played forever.
Oh, no, this was kind of where I was heading. It's like 11 seasons with the one team, and then he played more than 11 seasons elsewhere, but never as long in the one place, right? So you sit there and go, maybe I'm just comparing him in my head to Malcolm, Crosby, and Letang, who have done all of this for longer than... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're pushing
even,
so many years.
Even a Fedorov, I'm wondering correct. If it was 11 years. And forgive me if I'm off, but, like, he was to, what, Anaheim or Columbus by the early 2000s?
Yeah.
And he
Washington.
Must have come over early 90s. So,
yeah.
11 at best.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just... I suppose what I'm trying to say is, and we all know, he's a freak. Like, he's a unicorn in regards to there's not anything like him in pro sports. I'm going to...
Well, what did we say about him after the game?
I can't remember now. That was a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, well...
so you're asking
is
me
there... He's like the most important human in the Czech Republic, political...
Oh, that's right, yes!
Sports, whatever, like, he's like the guy in Czechia.
You're absolutely right. But, I mean, and this was stated in the ceremony, that if he doesn't do what he did, this franchise doesn't exist. And I'm almost 100% sure, because it happened to my Sonics, this conversation wouldn't be happening because I wouldn't be following hockey like I follow it.
No, Jagr's a pillar of my love of the sport and me playing travel hockey and, you know, onto high school and college in the 90s and into the early 2000s. Him and Mario are everything to me. And to see them both in the building tonight.
Yes.
Oh, man. What a...
It's nuts.
What a thing.
Well, yeah, you know what? Doing this now is probably the best way to do it because I haven't been able to overthink it. But it's hard to put it into words. Like, before I left the trip, I was talking to... I can't remember who I was talking to. It was like, do you remember the shot of... the photo of LeBron taking to break the record for the highest scorer in the NBA? And you see the... photo. Everybody's on their phone except for the guy that runs Nike.
Mm-hmm.
He's living the moment. That was what tonight was for me. I didn't, once I took a photo of you sitting in your seat a little further down.
Yeah, you did.
Once I took that smart ass photo, I didn't get my phone out again to take any photos.
I did once. I took video of the banner going up, but nothing from the actual ceremony.
Yeah, because I'm like,
because that was slow motion and like it's phones on my chest. I'm watching it,
but
like, and truth be told, I noticed that the banner had raised
a lot of creases.
No, the banner had raised above where I was filming for a bit.
So you had to scan up a little bit.
I'm like, fuck this.
You don't have eyes in your chest. It's a little complicated.
I'm like, I fucked this up. Whatever. Yeah. I didn't.
Then I was like, no, I get
it. And then stopped the video before the Yager chance. What a shitty video. I'm not going to delete it, but it might as well
be. But the reason I didn't do that was, I know I'm going to have a copy of that, this moment for the rest of my life. It's like, I want to live in it.
And yeah.
It was great. It was, I'm really, like, I won't get to do this again. Like, I have a half a brain fart in my head that I'll come back for the Fleury one. But...
And I agree with you. I think he will have one.
Yeah, I can't be confident that that'll happen. So I wanted to live
confident to get over.
Yeah, that's what I meant. As in me getting back here. It's like, I'm here. I get to enjoy it. Live the moment. Feel the atmosphere. Know that I'm going to have a copy of it because it'll be on TV and all that kind of stuff. I will find a copy of it somehow.
Yeah, it's almost like there's professionals recording it. I don't need to.
No. So, yeah, I'm just... Well, actually, something we haven't discussed is the color change of something that's up in the ceiling as well.
Oh, I was very thrilled to see it, even if it was on the... I was on the side of the... I was literally on the side of the Michelle Briere Mario banners. So I didn't actually see the banner. I'm literally, you can see like the thinness of the banner. The proper gold on Mario.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled. Because I had tweeted out, I hope they don't do Jager Vegas gold. Because technically that was the last uniform he wore like Mario. And everything's proper gold. And Michelle Briere's is the proper blue. And they look great.
They fixed it.
They
fixed it. And it was nice to see, because like you said earlier, it feels like everything's proper.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we know we're about to come to the end of
There's no rule that says you have to use the stupid fucking colors of the last uniform they wore.
So they could change, or they should change the 09 one. And just have it whatever they want. It's their own franchise. They could change that.
Oh, the Stanley Cup banner. Yeah. That one may be a little different.
I understand that. I get it.
It does look weird.
Well, they've got the two, the shitty one, and the two. Like,
well, it makes sense that it's the middle one and it's the off-colored one to be in the middle. But it's almost like you're highlighting this fucking tan bullshit.
Yeah, the shit color. It's like, what the hell? It's just, yeah. It's a little...
I don't want to shit on the Vegas gold as hard as I am, in the sense of it brought back the proper skating penguin.
Yes.
So there is value there, but they're wearing the right colors now, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's about gold. Like, that's the... I know that if you look at it on the internet, it says that it's egg yolk. But it's Penguins gold. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It'll always be.
The other teams in the city.
Yeah, correct.
So
that's the thing. It belongs. The colors belong. It's, I don't know. Anyway, it's, yeah. I do want to say, though, that one of the reasons I said that we got in line, we got in and all that kind of stuff, it's been a great day all the way through, got to meet Jordan Faulkner, who's a listener.
Yeah.
And I do want to get there and shout him out, because not something that you expect, considering the high production value that this podcast runs out with, to actually meet somebody that listens to the podcast and is keen to admit that they do.
It's still surreal, these episodes later, that people do that. And of course, my wife's with us. And
yes.
She started. She's like, wait, what? What?
Yeah. Sorry. Jordan, thank you for today. It was amazing. And as Gunnar said, surreal that you can meet somebody that listens to a podcast by two people that do no preparation, no post-production, and just get it out there so you guys can listen to us talk about it.
The cool part about, like, not only, like, Penguin's internet community, but internet in general, like, we are sitting here doing a podcast. How do you start a podcast with somebody from Australia?
You do it because of a man called Brian Metzer. To be perfectly honest, yeah. That's how it starts. It started from Hockey Buzz with Metz and the community there that he started and fostered and made sure that it was quality and the content that he pumped out. And getting to catch up with him tonight was really, really cool. Like, it was great. Ryan got to meet him face to face for the first time.
Yeah, correct. You know, my whole online hockey anything. I didn't really... This isn't... I'm not taking a dig at HF boards. Like, I never did... I don't have an account there. I never did a lot of HF boards. I started Brian's Hockey Buzz Penguins blog. It was my first, like, and they had the message board there and everything in the comment section. Love-hate relationship with that over the years. Loved it better when I wasn't writing.
That's what it's there for.
But Brian created that to where me and Cam hit it off, like, through that, and to have it come in, you met Brian in person 2010.
In 2010, yeah, I was lucky enough for that to happen.
But I met Brian tonight, and it was just cherry on top of just a wonderful day. On top of the other people that were so generous with their time with us today.
Nice.
And it was really awesome.
Yeah. That man does yeoman's work. If,
Yowie work.
Hey? What'd you say?
Yowie.
Yowie, yeah. Well, actually, that's another thing with it. Running with the people giving up their time just to say hello.
Yeah.
Being able to meet just Yowie face to face on a night off, that was amazing. And getting to meet Rob Rossi as well, just to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
They take their time out of their busy schedule to do that.
No, it was cool to close down PPG Paints Arena with nobody in it and hanging out late.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
But just, it's one of those things where they stick their neck out to give their opinion and to let us know what's going on with the franchise. But, you know, you don't necessarily agree with them all the time on the points that they point out, but they understand that it's hockey and that you're not a bad person.
Yeah.
And they're more than happy to shake your hand, say hello, and know that, you know, everybody involved in the conversation has a love for the team. That's fine. And I think that's the thing for me that comes out of that with what we went through tonight was we all have a common love for the club and the players that are there. Yeah, you might not always agree, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's still a community that you can all get along with.
Yeah, that was what a cherry on top of the whole ceremony and just being here for tonight. Is there anything that we missed ceremony wise?
I don't think so. I watched that part of this game over and over and over on the treadmill, I'm sure, because I'm a tragic like that. I go watch old games while I exercise. It was amazing. I saw a few people say that's one of the best that they've ever seen for retirement. So
the Penguins did a remarkable job.
I agree. I think it's the guy that helps, though. I really think it's the he's not a hockey stiff. He is his own person. He is not, you've got to do it this way.
Jagr?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he walks to the beat of his own drum. Yeah. Always has, always will, right? And mm-hmm. that's what made that awesome. I feel like they worked that whole thing around him rather than go, we're going to do it this way and you're going to follow. Right? You see some of these retirement things and they feel very cookie cutter. You can't do that with that man.
He you can't do it with him because of him, but more so, yes, he's a, in my opinion, a Penguin first.
Yes, absolutely.
Czech Republic first, professionally Penguin first. But he has shared with so many different teams, yeah. And he resonates with everybody.
There are a lot of different.
So you can't do it wrong. A lot of jerseys. Traveling Jagrs were there tonight.
Yes, they were. We know they were there. Could not avoid them. Every time you try to go somewhere through the concourse, there they were.
It's so funny. It's great. I think that we can wrap a bow on that. Who wants to hear about how shitty this team is?
This could be a very short section because
I don't know.
It's tough.
I got a lot to say.
Go. You start. You know what?
I don't have a lot to say. I'm lying.
You go on what we would technically call a rant, and I will interject if I disagree.
I don't have a rant. I'm content with. I've gained acceptance of where this is headed. They made their bets, and I don't disagree with the bets. In fact, I've written they should have made the bets,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't. They didn't.
Everybody in this room, there's only two of us, agree those bets were the right bets.
And it didn't.
Hasn't. I am not.
They fucking stink.
Yeah.
The game sucked.
They're a team.
That was a boring fucking game.
They're playing not to lose. They are literally playing not to lose. They are a team that's playing scared. That's, for me, personally, I noticed this with AFL football back home. You can tell when a team is playing not to lose as opposed to win. You can see it. This team has lost that. We're out there to win. But
they don't have enough players that can play to win.
Yeah, but the good
thing, that bottom six...
I know the bottom six
is dreadful.
It's dreadful. Interesting. But the top six, you can...
Well, without Gensel, it wasn't that great neither.
Do we want to talk about Gino?
Sure. We will get to Jake eventually. Yeah. That's important. But...
Yes, this will be fun.
Gino's my guy. I love him. And...
Does your wife know this?
Yeah. Well, we named a cat after him, so... There's that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We're a couple of beverages in, people.
It's tough. So this is going to open up like a big can of worms.
That's why I wanted to know whether we wanted to do it.
The power play's a fucking disgrace, and I know I'm not saying anything that's unique. It fucking pisses me off that I had to watch it in person. Fucking awful. I can't wrap my head around what a piece of shit it is. A lot of it's on the breakout, if I'm being honest. They're running the old Kessel drop pass breakout, but nobody's... Like Kessel, when he was going good, Conn Smythe Kessel for the Penguins.
Oh, the one he should have got.
Yeah, correct. He's zipping through, and you can kick it out to the... You drop that pass, and you go through the middle, and then you kick it to the side. But the team has to respect that he can go through the middle. Now the Penguins are just dropping it and going like slugs through the middle. And the other team's like, yeah, you're kicking it outside. I'll fucking... Anse Kopitar's like, fuck it. I'll pick it out of the air. And dude, they'll score the game-winning goal shorthanded off the breakout, if I recall that correctly.
We didn't actually see it going. We all said to each other...
Oh, the light... Like, they stopped playing, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah. The light
great shot. That was... Kempe made a great play.
The light went on, and I, like, that came off the puck's drawn. It did.
Penguins moved back up the ice, but like the Kings stopped playing, and it was like, oh,
boy. Went off the post. It just went off the middle post.
Yeah. Through a slit. And Jarry played great.
Oh, yeah. This loss is not... You know how the last couple of years, it's been goaltending that has sort of crucified them at the wrong times of the year? Not that it's been a terrible thing. This year, they're getting above average goaltending. And look where they are.
Furthermore...
Sorry.
Goaltending is down league-wide, and they're getting great goaltending. Like, yeah. So it's an extra advantage.
Yeah.
And here they are flailing. So anyways, back to the...
Sorry.
Didn't mean to go off on a rant on the breakout, even though I'm just fucking disgusted at that.
It deserves it.
So, unfortunately, I'm here to say, Gino... I can't believe I'm doing this. Not playing well on the power play. It hurts me to say that.
What did you say before the game started? I think there's a problem with not moving feet.
Yeah, he's very static. He's not moving around a lot. His fumbling the puck's too strong of a word, but he's not, even with like his super strengths of, he's not receiving the puck flat a lot, and he's taking extra handles. But furthermore to that, not moving the feet, his passes are predictable.
The whole thing.
And now goes and a lot of times when it gets iced, it's because he gets boxed in on the right side, and the other teams can just, you know, close the lanes down, and then they break out the puck like shit, as I said. So now the power play's like cooked. You got the second unit changing. All these Hall of Fame players are not in zone time trying to attack. Yeah. It was the most pedestrian-ass fucking... How are we here?
I really should be taking a photo of Ryan right now. The look on his face, head in hand.
Well, I think Metzer said it might be the worst power play ever, like, statistic-wise. Like, below... Club,
which is nuts. Think about how bad
Pittsburgh. So we just talked about the goaltending. Like, heading into the season, all of you listening, did you think that was going to be the strength of the team?
No.
What did you think the power play was going to be? Probably the strength of the team. And we're living in this fucking bizarro world where the goaltending kicks ass for the most part. Yeah. I thought... And I know I said it a minute ago. Jarry was awesome tonight. He was square to the shooter, everything. He didn't deserve a 2-on-1 on a fucking power play to be the undoing it.
And it felt like live. It felt like, and I'll have to go back and look at it, but it felt like that shot.
And the first goal was a double deflection.
Yeah. But that the game winner went through the legs of the defense. That's what it felt like, looking at it live.
Kempe kept it in a shooting position, but also a passing position, which freezes the goalie, and he made a great shot. And
if any of you are kids, that's where you want the puck to be at all times.
That's right.
You know, shooting/passing position, so the goalie can't commit either way.
So, seeing that power play, like, I don't know. I'm just going to throw this out here. The power play I run is at 42% this year. No big deal.
I've wanted you to say that on this podcast for quite a while. I am really...
My guys are tremendous. They move. They're unselfish. They attack their 2-on-1s. Like,
so legit argument here. We've had a lot of conversations off mic about... always finding your 2-on-1s. That's always been the thing that you've always
told. And usually the killers will show their hand. They're either going to attack up high aggressively, where they attack the shooting lane, but they also have the side guy of the diamond attack the return pass to the side on the circle.
Yeah.
And that creates that pressure. Yeah. Well, to relieve that, the top guy just shoots it down to the goal line. The Penguin structure doesn't have any of this built in.
No. So my question here is, you and I will, and anybody that is a connoisseur of hockey will always have a crack at the maniacs in the crowd.
We had some maniacs around us, let me tell you.
Yeah, they get there and say, shoot it, shoot it.
Here's the funniest one before you. I mean, I almost was shoot it guy tonight.
That's literally where I was headed.
I was almost shoot it guy. This motherfucker that was in our row is yelling all night long, fucking hit him. Penguins are killing penalties, and he's like, hit him. And I'm like, okay, buddy, if you want him to go hit him, the slot's going to be wide open.
It's interesting because you and I were sitting in the same section for a fair bit until we found out that a whole row in front of Gunner left.
You mean?
No. A whole row in front of Gunner left. So I moved so I could sit down with him and his wife, who painted her way through the game.
No, she's good. she was excited to be there. I think our post-game hangout session was intense for somebody who's not piped in with the Penguins, baby.
I don't blame her.
That was pretty
good. She soldiered
good.
On through it like the wonderful person she is, so kudos to her for that.
I think she was a little taken aback that, like, she saw firsthand, like, real people listen to this bit, like when Jordan.
Yes, yeah. So thank you, Jordan, for making out that we're not just talking to ourselves.
That was really good.
It was.
It was. So that was like the game part. Like it wasn't a good game, and it's the kind of game that reinforces why I spend more money on concerts than NHL games, because you're not guaranteed like a good product.
Yeah.
Like game presentation, except for that their hype guy he's kind of,
that's a conversation for
their in-house hype guy. Even my wife, like, who's a saint, and like she doesn't like punch down or anything like that.
Was
like,
not impressed, I think is the term we're looking for.
she rolled her eyes at this guy, and trust me, we got younger kids that watch the shittiest YouTube fucking nonsense out there. And, yeah. Anyways.
It was interesting. Last time I was here, I was in the igloo. This was
same.
A different presentation.
Same. Believe it or not, first time at PPG Paints Arena for me, which is so weird. Like, you would think, and it wasn't lack of motivation or, like, want to. It happens.
Life
happens that way. So it was cool to you know, finally. I mean, I love the igloo.
The sight lines in the igloo were beautiful. Like, it felt like a hockey venue. This feels like a multi-purpose.
It should be, but yes.
Yes. We know we need to have seats that fit different items. The igloo was the igloo for hockey, as far as I know.
The greatest dump.
Yeah.
It reminds me of going to a Bills game. The Bills Stadium is the igloo version of the NFL.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with
PPG. No, the sight line's amazing at, I guess it's Highmark Stadium. I don't know what the fuck they call it now. Rich Stadium for us 90s Bills fans. and I recently went to the two home playoff games there. So, like, yeah, it's a dump. It's great. It's meat and potatoes. Sightlines are amazing, but you can understand why they're building a new...
I do wonder whether I've got to the stage of my life where an old man yells at cloud situation, where I'm just complaining that it's not what it was when I was there scenario. But before I came down to sit near you and your wife, I was like, I had a guy over my top right shoulder literally complaining about how bad the building was. This building's got no character, this building's got no life.
The product's the product right now, and I feel it's fair.
I think the reaction for tonight's game for the fans is legit. Like, you can't get pumped.
There was nothing. Like, if Sid's line wasn't on the ice, nothing was going to happen.
Yeah.
And What do you want Malkin to do, man? He's got Riley Smith, who's not really, since the early part of, what, October?
First six games.
I remember writing some really glowing stuff because that's what happened.
See, because I remember us talking after the game, because we were having this conversation about Smith, and you were like, you know, a bet to take, but it hasn't gone well. And I went, no, before he got injured, he was solid. And then I checked myself and I said, no, hang on. It went sideways before he got injured. Mm-hmm. It was a real early sugar hit. And I was like, holy fuck, man.
He's a good player. No, he's just not in Pittsburgh.
Well, think about Raquel. Like,
similar.
What the hell is going on there? That makes no sense. The top six on this team, on paper...
When Gensel's
No. Available. That's the end. Like I'm saying, when healthy, you sit there and you go, that top six... In theory, if you're Dubas, should be able to carry the subpar bottom six. Now, the problem you have is that you should see his face. I love being able to do this live. You should... The thing is, though, that bottom six that he has for this season...
It's his fault.
He got to construct that. Now, I was ecstatic when he became GM.
Same.
Well, I was ecstatic because it wasn't Hextall. The fact that it was Dubas, I was stoked. But I said this to you...
I still don't think it's a bad hire.
No. I said this to you walking around the concourse trying to find our seats. I swear those couple of signings that he signed, particularly the Achari one, was I want somebody that I'm comfortable with that I know I can trust. I know what I'm going to get when I sign them. But you can't do that. You can't. You've got to go adapt... On those bottom six guys...
He should have known he ain't getting shit.
That's the thing. The value that you were going to get out of him... Like, the Jesse Puljujärvi decision, that's a great one. The risk-reward on that...
Because you can bury it if it doesn't... Yeah. And if he... And he was kind of... He was just there tonight. Not bad, not good. Yeah. Just, you know... And then the blandest of...
Yeah. However, the ceiling potential on a guy like Puljujärvi, as opposed to...
For 800K.
As opposed to Achari, the risk-reward there, I just...
You're paying three times as much for Achari. It
feels odd that a guy that...
Ish.
Yeah, for a guy that was kind of touted as being a person that looks at the numbers, does the math on the... All the stuff you literally just said, like Sarakat, all that kind of stuff... It's like the Puljujärvi thing makes it. Got it. But the signings prior to that don't. It doesn't. It's just general managers in this sport, well, sports in general, but in this sport, because obviously it's the one that I love, baffling. General managers are absolutely baffling.
Speaking of bad signings.
Ooh.
So, I don't usually, I'm not very vocal at Penguins games. I'm not very vocal at my kids' games. I've just kind of taken it in. I audibly let an, oh, fuck off tonight. When Ryan fucking Graves, so it's a shift late in the third period, and it's Sid's lines out there, and it's like, it's got to happen with his line. They do some cycling and it gets rimmed around to Graveside, and I'm not one of these people that think he's really tall and big. He needs to throw fucking bodies everywhere. No, but I'll tell you what I do need: keep the fucking puck in the blue line, because you're gonna lean in and make an effort. And this motherfucker just got fucking owned because he didn't, you're that big. You just must not care.
I don't.
That's as hard as I've gone in on a player in a long time. But I was so angry, and I said, oh, fuck off, when the puck went out of the zone.
Yeah.
Because it was the lamest pinch, and he's $4.5 million for 100 years.
But it wasn't even the thing that you say pinch. It wasn't even a pinch. Dude, it was on the blue line. He didn't have to come down.
It was maybe he should have read it to come down and meet the puck. But yeah,
yeah, okay. So this is an interesting thing because everybody gets on the tank.
If you watch the game, you probably maybe don't even remember it. But I was so that was what tipped me from like...
So to reverse this conversation in regards to somebody not having the courage to have a pinch, and there could be a confidence issue with that in regards to the fact that Gray's... Anyway, I'll go back to that later. Like, not this podcast. Don't give me the thumbs. You know what I mean.
No, anyway, that's not towards you. That's...
I know that. What I'm trying to say is everybody gets on the volume of people in that building that get on the tank...
It's bonkers. Bonkers!
Insane.
Letang. Absolutely insane. Letang that was great.
You're about to say what I was... You do it. You explain it better than
he
I.
He is so good at like reading what's happening and he closes the gap. There were so many times where he jumped up past where a defenseman usually will because he knew he could win the puck battle and they kept offensive zone situations alive. And on a team that has just the fucking... Just a complete... Ugh. Fucking bottom six. To keep pucks alive for the top six is so important. And he multiple times tonight kept situations going. And it's like rolling dice. If you want a result, you need more rolls. And the more rolls with Crosby and Malkin, even in this late stage of the era... Like, and Letang was making it happen. Yeah, fuck these people yelling at Letang.
The thing that was most impressive. This sport is best watched live, off the glass. Not as high as we probably actually. Where your seats were great. You need to be up and not behind the goal. You need to be on the corner. Because you get to see what's going on, right? And Letang's ability, there were two times in particular that I thought of in the second period where the pinch, and I think you and I are thinking of right now, where he didn't just pinch and come up to the forward waiting for the puck. He just fucking went around him.
Yeah.
And just, so it wasn't, he didn't beat him to the puck. He just went, oh, I know the puck's going to be there. I'm just going to jump him. And there wasn't a forward back. If it went over, if it hits.
But that's the Letang experience. It's a proper read. And if it bounced over on a fluky thing, he'd look like a fool.
Yeah, but he does it. This is the thing. He cops a fuck ton of flack for doing shit like that every year.
Tactically sound, as far as I'm concerned.
Correct. And the thing that I like about it is that as a human being, he is able to shut that shit out and still keep doing it. Because it was very obvious in tonight's game that the only reason they got any consistent pressure in that zone was because of Letang. Like, I love watching Carlson. His ability to break the puck out is better than Letang's. Carlson's...
It's a different way.
It is. But he just seems to... Conversation later on. Not necessarily tonight. But... Letang, just, I'll be very, very happy when 58 can't be worn again.
He should get a jersey retirement. He should be in the Hall of Fame, too.
It was hilarious when they were, through the video montage, they had the photo of the guys for the top 100 players. And the first thing I thought of in the back of my head was, oh, where's Mr. 101? I don't understand how he doesn't make that list.
Well... The list is stupid.
Well, I understand that. But listicles are the thing now. So it's how it works. But Letang cops way too much flack for what he does.
He always has.
Why not? You and I have been on the Letang bandwagon for forever. But it's just, you watch him live, you see what he does, you see how he reads what's going to happen. And like you said, it's a calculated gamble.
He's so aggressively proper. Is the best way I can put it. That's what you want. He's playing to win and he's calculating it and the probabilities are in the right
quadrant.
But it's hockey's controlled chaos, and you can do that and come out wrong. And when he comes out wrong, it looks pretty fucking wrong.
It's terrible. Because like that was such a... both of those pinches that I'm thinking of was so ballsy, because that puck jumps over his skate, over his skate or his stick.
There's no F3.
Because of the snow on the boards, he's fucked. Absolutely, completely fucked.
But also, they can't generate anything because they're not a good team.
No.
They ain't making the playoffs. I should have probably led with that a while ago. This is not a playoff team. They're just not good enough. And which brings us to our next, like, the biggest part of this equation. Yeah, Guentzel was hurt tonight, and like, I was super disappointed to, like, one, him being hurt as a human being. I don't want him hurt, but yeah. I know I'm going to this game, and I'm like, oh man, what the fuck? He's probably one of my favorite Penguins of all time, and you that's saying something.
You love the cerebral people. You always have.
I mean, that to say he's one of my favorite Penguins.
I'm looking at your t-shirt. It's a pretty high bar. There is the Lemieux Jaeger around the cup jersey, around the Stanley Cup.
The back-to-back.
On
his, no, but Jake... Yeah. I love watching him play. It was a bummer to not have him there tonight, but let's talk about that situation. I don't know what to do there. I was very much sign Jake, of course, like selfishly for me, but also you put all your eggs in this basket. How can you? You're not going to replace that. You know, watching this team tonight on Jager night, they're fucking dog shit. Okay, sign him for 8 years, even if he wanted to. Their bets aren't... the bets didn't win.
They're
in a bad spot right now as an organization as far as on-ice stuff. I never thought I would be in trade Jake, and I don't think that when you trade him, you're going to get a whole lot. You talk about, like, who was it? DePrinkett. Oh, you'll get a first, a second, a playable NHLer, and a top prospect. And DePrinkett goes for nothing. Nothing-ish.
Giroux's the better
comparison. Yeah, but Giroux even...
No, what I'm saying is if you compare the Giroux...
So, you have to ask yourself, who wants Jake Guentzel? A contender. Well, where do contenders draft? In the 20s. And what is the hit rate on first-round picks in the 20s? Not great. I'm not saying it's impossible to get a guy, but, like, it's not... And then you're going to get... I don't know. Not the best prospect back for him. Like, Rutherford just traded for Lindholm, or who's a center, not a winger. Is Jake gonna get more than that? It hurt. He's a rental who's hurt right now on long-term injured reserve. Now you can trade a player if the other team gets it's not like a no-go totally situation. Like,
so
it sucks. You're damned if you do, damned if... Yeah. The Penguins... that's the Penguins right now. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But that's the reality.
So, you get there... Is he 29 or 29? How old is Guentzel?
He'll be 30.
This turns 30 this year?
Next, I think.
So, you get there and go... Give him 8x8. Just... as a random
whatever. That's not very random. That seems about right.
Yeah, but you get
the eighth year, you drop it from 8.5 to 8.
You get him 8x8. So you go, right, whose contract runs out first? Sid's, right?
Not Ryan Graves.
I'll ignore that for now. I'll ignore that one for now. So you go. Sorry. Conversation had earlier tonight. It was funny. You're taking Jake on not for the then, for the shitty contract that it'll be when he's 36. Because I can't see him aging well. I can't see him aging well because the way he plays is smart. As soon as he loses another step or Jeff Carter and loses his hand, he's toast. For me, because I honestly didn't think that Jeff Carter would lose his hands. I thought he would just get slower, so he would struggle to get into position quick enough. But when he did, he'd score. Well, that's not sort of how it's worked out. And look, every player is different. But I'm just trying to use that as an example. I would just sign him, have him come back. I would get there and fold the cards for this year. So people that you go, I don't need for next year, or trade. So Dokovic, whatever. You just farm them out, right? You get them out and you just go, right, now it's my team if you're Dubas. So you can't get there and go, I've got carryovers. Because Carter's done after this year, right?
Yeah, I always assumed his money would go to Gensel. And then
I'm glad you said that recorded.
But
you did mention that earlier tonight.
I don't know. I don't know if Dubas is serious about signing Jake.
And if he's not, then the direction's different. But if you get there and you do that, what do you say to Sid? You've just got rid of his best winger.
So these were many conversations that were had post Penguins game tonight. It's a slippery slope.
Very, very slippery.
I know Colorado's the go-to.
That was the... Yep.
Hey, if Sid wanted to go to Colorado, like, what... Come on. Okay, go.
Well, it's the
Flames. Like, and I don't mean that flippantly. I don't mean that sarcastically. Go. Yeah. Sid, you're the fucking man. How could anybody that supports the Pittsburgh Penguins ever be like, come on.
Correct.
We just did 40 minutes on Jagr. He played for like 100 teams.
Yeah. But for the big three, I have the same feeling for all of them. Go. If this needs to be torn down.
I want them to finish.
I know. I'm not.
But,
yes.
But reality, I mean, Sid's the one that, like, he's still playing at a high level.
Yeah.
He was, you can tell Rust isn't his full self, and Raquel is having an off year, and that's, like, the best line they had to throw tonight.
Which is terrifying. If you think about it, where you go, you get to the start of this year, and you go,
Sid still scored.
Yeah, but you look
at the power play that we dissed forever. Because it was one pass over to him and he just shot it.
Pass the shot. Funny how that works. But you do look through that lineup and you go, I could see a playoff team in there. Like, you could. You could envision it.
I don't see it after tonight.
No. But that's the thing. The start of the season, even before the Carlson trade, I could talk myself into them being a playoff. I could talk myself into it. After the Carlson came, I was like, yeah, I can submit, right? Talk myself right into it. But I sit there and go, oh, they're 5 games behind the Flyers. They win all of them. They're in front of them by 3 points. They're in front of them by 2 points.
Hey, I remember when you said that. What's the problem with that?
They're behind by... If they win 5 games to catch up when they get to the Flyers' games total, they're behind them now. Like, you can't catch... They need to be third.
They're done.
They're done. That game tonight...
5 in a row?
No. Dude, I live in a fantasy... I live on the other side of the world. I live in a fantasy country. We don't really exist.
They ain't winning five in a row.
But you get my point, right? I could talk when, as the season was going along.
Oh, before, at times.
Before the All-Star game, I could talk myself into seeing them catching. Because it's like, oh, they'll win enough. If they just win 0.75.
This game, recent stretch was just damning.
Well, the gets-off thing, when they do the pregame, they're like, this is a season-defining stretch. They've got four games at home.
Yeah, they said it before the game, but yeah. Losing this, they're losing the Jets, Wild.
Yeah, there's three in a row. That's yeah, three losses in a row, right?
They're done.
Oh, no, they played Chicago. That doesn't count.
It's not even so much points back. It is, of course, but how many teams are in between them now?
I'm not worried. But the thing is, though, I don't worry about the teams.
I do.
But it's the total. Like, if we're four games behind the Flyers and you're 3 points out.
But you still have teams in your neighborhood.
Yeah, but the teams in the neighborhood.
To jump teams.
Yeah, but the teams in the neighborhood have played more games. So my theory is, yeah, if you're chasing the Flyers. The
Penguins are losing their games at hand.
But that's the. I think we're both.
Yeah, we agree.
We agree. I'm coming at it from a different angle.
I'm coming at it from we're fucked.
I'm trying to be a little more optimistic.
Nah, it's done.
But it is. It's the season feels toast. And the building.
I forget who said it. Tonight was the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And They lost and laid an egg.
Yeah.
As far as I was concerned.
They 49ed it.
That's not fair. They showed up for a little bit.
Hey, we're in front.
Fuck the Chiefs anyways.
Sorry, it's all point. I should have. Yeah, that's unfair.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those, we're just gonna ride the year out and, you know, hopefully Sid keeps doing cool stuff. Maybe Gino gets a line mate or two and does cool stuff.
I will say this. I enjoy
the little guy tonight had a little jump.
Yeah.
With the guy they just
picked up.
I'm sorry, little guy.
I
gotta look up. This isn't good by me.
So quick question. Drew O'Connor is providing nothing for Malkin. Jason Pugliavi was a fourth overall pick. What's the fear of popping him up that far to see if a guy that has a high level of
Phillips.
Yeah.
Was the guy.
Good call.
They just claimed Phillips from Washington. He had good speed. And he was on the second power play. Looks like he has good offensive awareness. I think the size thing might,
it might do him in.
But, like, he's 160 pounds kind of deal.
That's the weight of my left leg.
I like that bet. I know I tweeted out at originally, what do we need, another defense first forward?
He's not.
Based on the Jay Fresh chart from his Capitals sample, but he's over a point a game at AHL prior two seasons.
Yeah,
that's
your cutoff, isn't it? Like, for you in your head, if you're looking at just sheer basis
at a certain age.
If you want to have a sheer, really quick numerical, can this convert?
As long probabilities, as you, not destinies.
No. But your likelihood of maybe. Over a point per game.
Do you know who was that guy before? Like a Connor Sherry?
Yeah, there you go.
Jake Guentzel, certainly.
Yeah.
Jake I was on from the get-go.
What about Bo Bennett?
I don't remember Bo's dad. I liked Bo.
Oh,
just from watching, like, his... yeah, I know. The Bo thing, the injuries and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know what his...
Yeah.
I think his baby penguin numbers were okay.
He looked like...
He looked like a first-round pick.
He looked likely. Just couldn't stay. You know, you kind of need wrists for this sport. And if they keep breaking, it's kind of a problem. Unfortunately.
Sidebar, my assistant coach for college coached Bo in his junior year in British Columbia.
Oh, I loved it with this podcast with you.
So me and Bo coached by
the... You're like the Kevin Bacon of hockey for me. It's like 7 degrees to Kevin Bacon. It's like the 7 degrees to Ryan Wilson. I love it. I absolutely love it. Have we got anything else to say about the game before we try and get there and say this was a really, really awesome night anyway?
It will always be an awesome
night. I know.
It was tremendous. I don't have much more to say about the actual team.
Let's ignore the game. Feel very, very lucky. Tonight, I'll never forget, unlike my Vegas night with you and your brother. Corey, I am going to do you in again one night. Payback. They did such a great job. Everyone involved was...
Well, I'm going with Corey to Dead and Company at the Sphere. Maybe I'll dose him.
Do me a favor.
Okay.
Just say that's on camp.
Okay.
They did such a... Yeah, it was really, really well done. Everyone involved was brilliant. And I say everybody in the crowd, like those people that were dicks during the game.
The ceremony was pristine.
Correct. And I say that with the crowd because you always get the dicks that scream out through the national anthem. And it's like no one did any of that through any of the ceremony, through the whole thing.
I heard a Let's Go Pens during the anthem.
Yeah, twice. Nuts. Anyway, what I'm trying to say was from the time that I left Melbourne to after the pre-game skate when they redid the ice, it was an immaculately done, absolutely awesome, fantastic experience, and I couldn't have asked for more after traveling for 36 hours to get here to do it. It was unreal.
I couldn't have asked for a better evening and to share it with you in person again. And I think this whole thing is recorded, so we're doing better than the last time we did this in person.
Absolutely.
It was everything I wanted. It met every like you hope. Oh, Jager retirement night. Like I literally pulled over. Somebody texted me and it came up on my screen in my car. Jager night is blah, blah, blah. I pulled over and bought tickets to this. And that was before you had...
On you, yeah.
Like, And to get to this point where you found a way to get here.
Yeah.
I'm here. It's Jager. And you have these high expectations or hopes of how the day will go.
And generally, what happens when that happens? It doesn't make them...
Doesn't exceed them. It exceeded them.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It exceeded everything today, from pregame, hotel before, Jordan and hanging out with him before
and intermission. It was great.
To ceremony, game, and the post game was pretty awesome too.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a time, and hey, you got us to record, so.
For all of you,
it's been a whirlwind from like waking up at 7 a.m. today, driving to Pittsburgh, and it's 1 something a.m. and here we are recording.
Time is wrong for me at the moment. It's
so.
Thank you for listening to us. Wax lyrical on a night that neither of us will ever forget, and hopefully we give you some live perspective of what it was like there. It was, we were very, very fortunate to be there.
Yeah. Here's to number 68, Jaromir Jagr, Mount Rushmore Penguin.
Absolutely.
And here's to you, Cam.
Here's to you.
Love you, buddy.
You too, buddy.
Till the next time.
Hopefully it's not quite so long. Bye,
guys. Shouldn't be. See ya.